Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you were listening to the reading of this gospel and you thought, you know, that sounds a lot like last week's gospel, you would be right. We didn't read the same thing again, but for a period of 5 weeks, we meander through the sixth chapter of John's gospel. And I don't know that there's another piece of scripture that we focus on like that in the church year, but 5 Sundays where we're talking about bread. How many of you are low-carbing? Or otherwise avoiding bread? Yeah, good. See, I love bread, and I mentioned this last week, you know, bread is so fantastic. But many of us, for various health reasons, we limit our bread. So we either eliminate it, reduce it, avoid it, or we just have it for special occasions. And last week, the emphasis in the sermon was that, you know, while we may do that with regular bread, we want to do quite the opposite with Jesus, who is the bread of life. We want to consume more and not less. We want the bread of life to play a larger role in our lives and not a smaller one. But let's be honest. Today, Jesus takes the bread of life to a new level of gross. Did you hear it? Mm-hmm. But see, since we're in the church, then we talk almost like it's a normal thing to eat one's flesh and drink one's blood. But I guarantee you, if you went to the local grocery store and you say, "I'm going to eat your flesh and drink your blood," people might call the police on you. Jesus said, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Why on earth would the Jews have any problem with this? This is normal. And we in the church, we talk about receiving communion, the bread, the wine. And what do we say that it is? The true body and the true blood of Jesus. So when you come up here, you're receiving the true body and blood of Jesus. But that's one of the reasons why, especially in the early church, critics called Christians cannibals, eating flesh and drinking blood. There's so much, even after many years in the ministry, there's so much I still don't understand. And one thing that I think that I'm learning is that there are times when you want to continue to ask and seek and understand and analyze, and there is also a time to say, you know what? Sometimes that's not for me to analyze. It's a mystery. How does simple bread and wine become for us the body and blood of Jesus? I can analyze that till the cows come home, but I still won't know. So at some point I have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to do whatever the Spirit does to make this happen for us. But then what? Okay, so now we've accepted, we're receiving the true body and blood of Christ. We accept that it is a mystery, a miracle. It's something that God does on our behalf, for our sake. But what difference does it make for each of us as we receive communion? Sometimes I go to communion and I'm thinking about what I need to get from Southern States. Vicki, can you add chicken scratch to the list? And salt for the... Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. And do you know what I'm thinking about when I leave the communion rail? Did I remember to put salt on the list? You see, but what difference does it make? And shouldn't it be something much more significant? As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we have four young people who are receiving their first communion. What will they taste? Will they taste flesh and blood? Or bread and wine? Will fireworks go off in their soul? Will they see the heavens open and a dove descending? What will they see and experience and feel? You know, some churches talk about life-change experiences, when they were saved, transformation, those kinds of things. I think more accurately, according to my faith, is not that we have these once-in-a-lifetime or once-every-so-often special moments, but rather that receiving the true bread from heaven, the bread of life, is something that we do as a normal course of our diet, our spiritual diet. Receiving the bread of life is a way of life and a way into life. So receiving the body and blood of Christ, receiving the bread of heaven, yes, of course, it's what we do at Holy Communion, but Jesus is never limited to what we do and what we understand. So just like we want a nice, healthy, consistent diet for our bodies, we want a healthy diet for our spirit. So Jesus has other ways besides just communion to lead us into a way of life. In Jesus' time, and you probably know some of this, in Jesus' time, animal sacrifices were normal. They were still happening in the temple. And so the people were familiar with the Jewish sacrificial system. They knew that they would take an unblemished critter of some sort to the temple and offer that as a sacrifice for their sins. They knew that there would be a significant cut and blood would be drained from that animal. And so what the people at that time saw was, here is an animal and it's got blood and it's alive. There's the significant cut and the blood comes out and the animal is no longer alive. So what they do is then equate blood with life. Do you all have blood in you right now? See, that proves it. You're alive. Good to know, right? So that is where what they understood. So if an animal has blood, it has life. If an animal doesn't have blood, it has death. So when Jesus offers us his blood, he's offering us his life. But instead of Jesus, like the animals, being left with death, we're forced to consider things a bit differently, make a different connection. Because we see that Jesus himself is life, and that death doesn't have power to keep him. So giving one's life, though, is not something that we encounter each and every day. I don't go up saying, hey, I'm going to give my life for you today. But we understand that most significantly now in the case of our military, our police, first responders, people who literally can say, I'm here to protect your life. Imagine if you have a soldier come up and stand before you and say, or first responder, fireman, stand in front of you and say, I'm willing to give my life for you. And they mean it. I've never had somebody come up and say that to me. The closest is one of our military folks that was proclaiming his love for this church and his desire to protect it and to make sure that we are a healthy and strong church. But to then have Jesus say, I have given my life for you. But he doesn't stop there with offering us his blood. He offers us his body as well. Perhaps you know the story, the pig and the chicken. One day, a pig and a chicken were walking down the road, and since we're talking about things that are normal and happen all the time, the pig and the chicken were talking with one another, and they passed a church that was having a charity potluck breakfast. So, caught up in the spirit, the pig suggested to the chicken, "Hey, let's make a contribution." "Great idea," cried the chicken. "Let's offer them ham and eggs." The pig wasn't so happy with this idea. He says, "Not so fast. For you, that's a contribution. But for me, it's a total commitment." When Jesus offers us his flesh, he's making a total commitment. What else could he possibly offer us? He offers us his blood, his life. He offers us his flesh, which is everything. He doesn't hold anything back. He leaves everything out on the field. He's all in. And so Jesus, being all in, imagine how that changes how you look at life. Can you imagine going to a meal that Jesus hosted? How do you think that would go? You think it would be boring, lifeless, dull, or joyful? Do you think he would be stingy? "Oh, Janice, you can only have 4 of those green beans. I'm sorry." Would Jesus ever do that? Or would he be abundant? Do you think that he would have food that was old and wilted? "It's okay. I've had that spinach for 3 weeks. It's all right." Or do you think that he would give us food that's fresh? Do you think that he would treat you like you were a bother, that you were putting him out, that you were an annoyance? Or do you think he would welcome you as an honored guest? Do you think he would be surly and gossipy? Or do you think he would be joyful and encouraging? As we consume the bread of life, the life of Jesus courses through our bodies and literally becomes part of us as we consume. And as we consume, we become more like him. You've heard, I'm sure, all of your mothers have said at some point or other, you are what you eat. And this is the case for us as well. As we eat, as we feast on the bread of life, we become more like Jesus. We become more like him, so our lives mirror his. Our values mirror his. Think about those things that you know about and that you value in who God is. Some value God as an angry God. I don't. God is a God of love, a God of life, a God of grace, a God of generosity, a God of abundance and truth and joy and light and wisdom. You see, the bread of life doesn't just impact us, our lives, our eternal life. It's not just about us. The bread of life affects how we interact with other people, how we are in the middle of community. This past week, Vicki said 2 words to me. Well, she said more than 2 words. But she said 2 words to me that lingered in my heart and my soul. I was getting ready to leave. I had an appointment. I was running late, and I didn't have plans for lunch and didn't know when I was going to get my lunch in. And so she just said, asked a question that she's asked many times before. "Can I make a lunch for you?" Simple sentence. But those 2 words, "for you," there was something sweet and simple. She didn't have to do that. She had a very busy week this past week, but she took some of that time and gave that as a gift to me. I felt very loved. I felt very cared for. I was grateful. So even in this small way, Vicki was living the bread of life. The bread of life was active and at work in her. Martin Luther also said that the two most important words in the communion liturgy are "for you," the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, because it's what he does for us. It's a gift. So Jesus, the bread of life, offers each of us a personal invitation to receive the bread of life as a way of life, that we would experience the goodness, the abundance, the love of God for ourselves, but also that we would share this invitation, this abundance, with a world so desperately in need of the grace, the mercy, the love of God. In the name of Jesus, amen.